The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Chris Verba with the Pocahontas Record Democrat and Chantel Grove with Carroll Broadcasting. Chris, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
All right. I was going to defer to Chantel and let her start today. Chantel, you want to go in and start?
I am fine with that, Chris. Thank you very much. Senator Grassley, the National Governors Association meetings are taking place today in Des Moines, and Hillary Clinton is partnering with the Connecticut Governor, Dan Malloy, and they'll be leading a roundtable discussion on the shooting incidents in Orlando, Minnesota, Louisiana, and Dallas that recently took place, and they're going to be focusing on gun control measures in that conversation. What do you believe the nation's legislators need to focus on in the wake of these shootings?
I think what I'm hearing from Iowans and some progress I think that's been made in some of the cities of Iowa on race relations and police black relations is similar to what Dallas chief of police had been working on for years and years, and that is to make sure that you've got very ambitious programs of policemen interacting on a regular basis with people of minority status. And I think that that's something that needs to be done. Now, I'm sure that that some of the questions, maybe even yours, would imply, what can Congress do? But I think this is a case where there's no simple answer and there's no one answer.
Well, what parts, if any, of the current gun acquisition process need to be changed, in your opinion?
Okay, well, now you're asking a question that's a legitimate question, but it can be related to the problems that we have. But the killings are by policemen who had the legal right and had the necessity of having a gun. And then in the case of the person that killed the policeman, he had legal right to gun, and under the Second Amendment, people have the right to bear arms. And so I think that when it comes to any variation of what we're doing right now, and since the suggestion comes from the no-fly list, and there's people on the no-fly list that shouldn't be on, like Senator Kennedy, then getting back to the Constitution, I think you have the right of due process to make sure that your name's not on the no-fly list. And if it is on the if somebody's name is on the no-fly list and it's legitimately on the no-fly list, then they shouldn't have guns. And in the second area of whether or not you should have a gun or not a gun, under our Constitution, people have to have a due process if they're denied the right of having a gun. But whether it's terrorists or whether it's people that shouldn't have guns, nobody in the United States that I know of, and including this senator, wants terrorists to have guns or people that are unlawfully owning guns because they don't have a right to have one under our laws. Then that's where we are. Bottom line, though, you got to remember that a lot of people that don't have a right to have guns and want to use them not for self-protection, but to do harm to other people, they seem to have ability to get guns anyway.
Okay, thank you so much for your answer, and I will defer to Chris for the next question.
All right. Good afternoon, Senator Grassley. I want to change topics a little bit. Back in June, the House of Representatives was working on a measure that would strip about $511 million from conservation programs such as EQIP and CSP. My question would be, do you support the measures taken by the House of Representatives? If so, why? If not, why don't you agree with it?
Well, we don't really get a chance in the Senate to support a House appropriation bill, because the Senate works on a separate appropriation bill, and if both the House and the Senate pass different bills, they go to conference, and then on that, unless the Senate went along with what the House was going to do, I wouldn't have a chance to vote on it as a separate issue. But if I had a chance to vote on it as a separate issue, I would have to compare it to other priorities that the Appropriations Committee put in place, and if I felt that that priority let's say a priority was reducing expenses for or appropriations for these programs, then I would have to see what that rationale was. But I can tell you, when it comes to EQIP, when it comes to CRP, when it comes to other programs of conservation, I think they're very, very important. And a lot of these conservation measures that farmers take would not be taken without some help. But on the other hand, there is a requirement in existing law that I was involved in when it first went into place, and that's called the Soil Conservancy Law, going back 30 years. That law requires any farmer that wants to participate in the farm program to do everything that the law and regulations require to conserve soil, or they can't get any help from the safety net. So, bottom line, the success of that program has been that prior to 86, we were losing about 10 ton per acre of soil, and now we have it down to a renewable figure of about 4.5 to 5 tons per acre. Now, still too much, but at least it's renewable.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, Senator Grassley, if a similar measure to strip $500 million from those programs would be up for a vote in the Senate, you would be open to potentially cutting that money?
No, just the opposite. I'd be in place of it, unless I had to look at priorities within the within the agriculture appropriation bill, and there was something that I thought, like, let's say crop insurance. If crop insurance was going to be cut versus conservation, then I think the safety net of the insurance program is very, very important for farmers, because if farmers don't have proper income, then they can't do any conserving anyway.
Are there any other programs you would deem as being higher priority than EQIP or CSP?
I think just the safety net programs that I just talked about, that would include crop insurance, ARC, CRP is part of that, because farmers get income from that. And stuff like that, yeah. I think the other one's PLC, to think, now that I remember it.
Okay. I'll let Chantel take the next question.
All right. Thank you. Senator Grassley, you were recently presented a letter from a group of 13 organizations asking for your vote to approve the Compassionate Access Research Expansion and Respect Act, and that would move medical marijuana to a Schedule II classification and remove cannabidiol oil from the schedule completely. What are your thoughts on that act?
Well, I've heard from a lot of Iowans and actually seen the benefit of cannabis oil. So right now, I'm concentrating on helping people to use cannabis oil, because there's no addiction connected with cannabis oil. And I've seen families that have used it, and they've tried all sorts of pharmaceuticals, caused problems for their kids with epilepsy. And the real world out there is, it may not help all kids, but it helps some kids. So a long time before this bill was ever introduced, Senator Feinstein and I have tried to work around rescheduling getting DEA and Drug Enforcement Administration and the Food and Drug Administration to take away some of the hurdles that gets to the point of making a determination on the safety and efficacy of cannabis oil. Maybe I don't have to be sold on that point, but we had a hearing last year ago, June, in which some parents came in and said the value of cannabis oil, but it all didn't have a uniform quality. So people buying it and wanting to use it, they ought to have some certainty of what the quality is. So we want the FDA and the DEA, they're working together, and they keep some of this research from happening. DEA has already changed their mind favorable to cannabis oil. Now we're waiting on the FDA to do it, and we think that 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 will move along the cannabis oil thing.
Okay, now, so I'm hearing you correctly. You are in approval of legalization of cannabis oil in Iowa, but what about the federal regulations that make it a crime to transport it into the state? So Iowans could use it, but they couldn't actually get it into the state because it's not manufactured
yeah.
here.
Well, the bill I was asked about doesn't do that. It would allow the state, the various states to do that, and then you end up with 50 different state laws, and I think when it comes to drugs, you got to have a uniform national law. But what you're asking about is exactly the route that Feinstein and R, working with DEA and FDA, is trying to accomplish. And then we're also working on the introduction of some legislation that would under doctor certification allow the use of it. But that bill is just now being put together. So I can't tell you whether that bill's going to fly or not, but I hope it's a Grassley. Well, I better not name a Democrat at this point that we're trying to get to be a co-sponsor, but we think he will co-sponsor, and because it's a major issue in his state, so maybe we can get something done along that line. So, but we'll just have to wait on that point.
Thank you, Chris and Chantel, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.